And I thought I'd hear an IE at the end of that song, but I didn't. Amen. But I appreciate them. Thank the Lord for them and their life and their family. What a blessing. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Luke and chapter number 15. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture in the Bible. It's a familiar one. It's the story of this prodigal son. But within the passage of Scripture, there's some very important and interesting things that Scripture brings out to us for our lives and for our everyday lives that we need to see. And it's given to us in this passage of Scripture of Luke chapter 15. And we're going to begin in this passage with verse number 11. And so this morning, if you'll follow along with me, we'll read this passage of Scripture. And let's begin on verse 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against thee and against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' But he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for thy word this morning. And Father, we ask your blessings and your spirit, Lord, as we open the Bible today. We pray that you'd teach us thy word. And Lord, right where we're at, you know where all of us are in our own lives. And I pray that this morning, the word of God would meet the need of every Christian here. And most of all, if there's one here today that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray this morning that, Lord, they would come to the knowledge of the truth and trust you and put their faith in you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless that in a great way in this message this morning. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage of Scripture that I read is probably familiar to most of you. Most of you know the story of this man that had two sons. And he took one of his sons, went to his father one day, and he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he was essentially saying, "Father, give me my inheritance early. Give me my money early." And you know, the father, he didn't wonder what he was going to do with it. He probably knew, but the Bible says that he divided unto them his living. He gave him his inheritance. The Bible says a few days after that, the younger son, he gathered all his stuff. He grabbed his suitcase, he grabbed his backpack, and he headed out to a place called a far country. And the Bible says there, things didn't go good for him. Things went really bad. He wasted everything he had. with riotous living. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, he was in a bad place there. When he'd spent all, what happened? A famine came in the land. Well, that's bad timing, right? To have nothing. And yet a famine arose in the land. And the Bible says he began to be in want. He began to have needs. One minute he's living the life. And the next minute he's in want and in need. So he makes a decision here in verse 15. He goes to a citizen, a man in that country who was a farmer. He had hogs. And he said, maybe I can get a job with him. And he got a job with the hog farmer, and it was his job to feed the hogs. And the Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He said he was so hungry that he got to a place where he was like, man, I'd rather eat what these hogs are eating than have to live this way in my life. And he had this thought. This thought hit him in his head, verse 17. He said he came to himself. And I think it means that he woke up. He woke up. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And then notice the next phrase, I perish with hunger. And that's the title of my message this morning, is I perish with hunger. Now, I don't think living in America, we really know what it's like to be in this guy's shoes, to be close to death and hunger. We have a blessed nation, thank the Lord. But I think all of us know what it's like to do without food for a while. If you're a preacher and you do without food for 4 hours, man, you start to really get hungry. Amen? You ought to walk in my shoes sometimes, amen? But I don't think we really know what it's like to be without food, perishing with hunger. That'd be a rough situation. I heard years ago about a movie of a team of soccer players that had crashed up in the mountains. And most of them were alive. Some of you may know the story better than I do, but they were alive up in the mountains, and nobody could find them. Nobody rescued them. There was nobody around, and they're in this plane. A few of them had died, and they buried their friends in the snow, but they ran out of all their portions, and they ran out of all their rations. And, I mean, a few weeks went by, and nobody came to their rescue. And so the question was, what do we do to eat? Do we can't walk out of here. The snow is too deep. And they had to make a fateful decision that they were actually ended up cannibalizing their friends. That was a rough decision I'm sure they had to make. I hope I never have to be in that position, because I'm a preacher and some of you would be in big trouble if that happened. But what an awful decision to have to make. But this man said, I perish with hunger. I'm hungry. And not just hunger, but he was ready to die. Well, I got to ask myself the question, why did he get to this place? What happened? I think there's some reasons why this guy got to this place. And the first thing I see is he made the wrong choices in life. He made some wrong choices. You know, I think all of us have made some wrong choices in life. I won't ask for a raising of hands, but I think we all have, haven't we? And you know, if we make a wrong choice, the difficulty is that sometimes we have to face that wrong choice. And that's not easy. But he chose. He said, I'm going to take the portion of goods and I'm going to go live the life I want to live. Can I tell you, that brings nothing but trouble. God doesn't want us to live the way we want to live. God wants us to live the way he wants us to live. And if we are wise and we'll choose his way, his ways will bless our lives. I don't think this young man was convinced of that, though. I think he said, I got some money in my hand, and I got a wild streak in me, and I'm just going to go off, and I'm going to take off, and I'm going to do my thing. But, you know, that's where it led him to this place. It's led him to this place. You know, sometimes the world looks really good. Sometimes this old world, and to live this fun life as the world lives it, this party life, this great life, it appears good, but let me tell you, it left this guy perishing with hunger. That's right. It's not worth it, is really what God's saying. It's not worth it. It doesn't bring us real joy. He made the wrong choices. I think the second thing he did was he found that personal freedom really could not satisfy the hunger. Personal freedom. He could have done whatever he wanted, right? At that stage, he'd already left his father's house. He'd already been out, you know, on his own, doing his own thing. He had personal freedom. But did that bring him satisfaction? No. You know, I'm reminded of a verse that Jesus told us in his word. Jesus said, he that loseth his life shall find it. And he that findeth his life will lose it. You see, this guy didn't understand the principle, and that the principle was, man, if I give my life to God, God blesses my life in return. But when I try to take my life and live it out in my own selfish, my own purposeful ways, it crumbles beneath us. I wish every young person who graduates from high school would have that truth in their heart and in their mind. How many bad roads they could avoid by those principles. There's a third reason why I think he was perishing with hunger is that he found the far country could not satisfy that hunger. He found that he got out there and, you know, he was having fun with all of his buddies, living it up, drinking it up probably, living this riotous living, the Bible calls it. We call it the party kind of lifestyle. And he was living that life and he thought, man, this is great. This is happy. Woo! We got it. We are living. But it ended, didn't it? It didn't last. It didn't last. He thought the far country would give him the happiness that he thought it would, but what did it do? It actually brought him lower than he was in the beginning. And can I tell you, God teaches us these things in his word because it's not worth it to get out into this world and just live how they live. We're supposed to live for Christ. Yield ourselves to the Lord. And may I tell you what God does is he blesses us in return. Man, I tell you what, I've seen God's people just blessed by living a life surrendered to God. Say, preacher, that's hard. That's hard to do. When you realize, though, that God is in control of your life and that God will bless your life, there's no regrets for living with Christ. There's no regret. The regret comes when this man realized he kind of fooled himself into thinking life was going to be great. But it brought him to an understanding that far country couldn't satisfy him. Can I remind you, young person, that sometimes this world seems to really glitter. You know, the stuff in this world seems to really be great. And not everything in this world is necessarily wrong. God does allow us to enjoy some good things. Thank the Lord. But can I tell you, when we follow the pattern of the world and do the things that the world does that God doesn't want us to do, it brought this guy to the place where he said, I'm hungry and I don't know what to do. There's a fourth reason I think he was hungry. It's because he went to the wrong place to satisfy his hunger. You know, the Bible says that he went and joined himself to a citizen of the land. He wasn't ready yet to go back to his father, was he? He joined himself to this guy, whoever he was. He joined himself to him. He said, hey, give me a job. Would you give me a job? He got this job and he's feeding the hogs. And, you know, no doubt he was depressed and defeated, hungry. You know, I believe a lot of Christians could avoid a lot of defeat and a lot of depression in their life by just letting God have their life. Letting God have their life. Seems like a simple answer, but it becomes difficult when we realize we have to yield our will to Him and let Him and His Word live in our heart. And we follow it, we walk in it, we live in it every day. That's where the blessed life comes. You know, there's an older son in the passage of Scripture too. And you know, he never left his father. Never left him. He stayed right there with his father, helped him and worked in the fields and did his what he was supposed to do. And even though the son came home, you know that the older son was the one that inherited everything of his father's. He was the one that inherited. He just stuck right by his father. Oh, can I tell you what? Just stick by your father. Just stay with your father. You don't need the disappointment that this old world brings. Live and walk for God. Give our lives to God. God does so much better with it when we put our lives in the hand of the potter. And he makes us what he wants us to be. You know, I've been preaching for 34 years, and when I was a young preacher, I had a plan where I was going, where I was heading. But you know, I found that God has his plan for me too. And I can either follow my plan or follow his plan. And you know, I chose long ago, Lord, I just want to follow your plan. And I can tell you, there's wonderful blessings of God. Amen. And that doesn't mean everybody's called to preach or is a preacher, but it does mean that you serve the same God I do. Amen. And that God will be blessed and bless you when you find the wisdom in serving Him and living for Him. He perished with hunger. But you know, it all changes in verse number 20. I want you to see verse number 20. I want you to see something connected in this young guy's head. Something changed. Verse 20. It says, and he arose. You see that? He arose. He didn't stay in this same condition. He said, I can't stay in this spot. He said, I'm hungry. I can't stay in this spot. He arose. And what did he do? He came to his father. You see, the citizen of that country couldn't give him what the father could. The father knew his greatest needs. The father was the one that blessed him. The father was the right place to go. He went back to his father. He arose. You know, I've known people in life who they're not saved, and if they died in their sins, they wouldn't spend eternity in heaven. So do you believe in hell? I believe in hell. The Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. That's the truth. And may I say, God doesn't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. But when a person rejects Christ and they don't arise and get out of that place that they're in and come and receive Christ willingly from their heart, can I tell you what? It's the same as rejecting Christ. You know, I noticed my kids, if I told my kids something to do when they grew up and they didn't respond, it's the same as if they told me no, right? If I said, son, go take out the trash, and he just sat there, he may not have said no, but he was still rejecting what I said by saying nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that just say nothing to God. Nothing. But God's teaching us, hey, arise. Don't stay in sin. Don't live with your account on your heart, a sinful account. Arise and go to the Father. Amen. Amen. Arise. Don't stay in it. There's hope. He knew that there was always hope. Isn't that good to know? Amen. Hear me today. There is always hope in the Father. Amen. Always. No need to be depressed. It was this guy when he was running away from God that brought the depression. When it clicked in, I need to get up out of this place and go to my Father. And can I tell you what? That's exactly what that person who doesn't know Christ needs to do. They need to get up and say, Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature. Make me a child of God. Don't stay where you're at. Don't give God a nothing response. Say yes to Christ. He arose. He came to his Father. But what do you think the Father did? Father said, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I see you. Yeah, you come back, you ran out of money. You're here, want some more money. You think the Father did that? No, I think the Father kind of knew the day would come and he'd be back. I think the Father knew the results of what his life had brought him. But let me tell you something, that Father had compassion on him. Amen. He had compassion on him. He could have said, well, you made your bed, you live in it. He could have done that, but he didn't. He had compassion. And the Bible says he ran. Now, can you picture an old father in a field with gray hair working in the field, and he saw his son afar off? I think he was kind of scoping the horizon every day because he thought he probably was coming back. And he looked across that horizon. There he is. He probably dropped his shovel or his tool, got out in that field and ran to him. And the Bible says he grabbed his neck, hugged him, and he kissed him. He probably smelled like those hogs. But the Father didn't care. The Father had compassion on him. He said, this, my son was dead. Now he's alive. He's alive. He found hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I wish the whole world would find the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they did, there'd be hope and help and joy. Because he is that Father that when he sees us coming to him, he runs to us and grabs our neck, hugs us and kisses us and welcomes us home and treats us better than we deserve. Amen. What a hope. No reason for hunger. No purpose for that anymore. But notice what the son said in verse 21. The son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, it's amazing. He wasn't ready to say those words when he got his father's money and took off. He wasn't ready to say those words. But you see, God had to bring him through some difficulties. God brought him through some rough waters. He brought him all the way to the place of hunger, perishing with hunger. Brought him all the way to that place. And when he finally got to that place, that's when he was really recognized that I was a sinner and I messed up and lied. You know, can I tell you what? This is the second most important thing he did, is he recognized that he was a sinner. You know, everybody's a sinner. There's nobody that's ever lived that was not a sinner. You say, you, Pastor? Yeah, don't ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. Amen. We're all sinners. There's nobody perfect. There's nobody better than anybody else. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And that's why we need the Father. Amen. That's why we need to run to Him. That's why we need to go to Him and ask Him to save us. And maybe, you know, I found that God sends circumstances into our lives to prepare us, to get us there, to where we're ready to say, I need you, Father. I need you again. God, He puts those things in our life. And wonderful they are, because they bring us to a place where we recognize we're just sinners and we're in need of a Father. Amen. We're in need of a Father. Can I tell you, you and I, we're in need of a Father today. We are in need of a Heavenly Father in our lives. And you know, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come unto me. Jesus wants us to come to Him and say, Father, I've sinned in your sight. And you know what the Father chooses to do? He chooses to do what He did in the next verse, verse 22. It says, but the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And oh, here's the satisfaction of the hunger, verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Oh, listen, he found the forgiveness of God. What a wonderful thing the forgiveness of God is. You know, when you and I recognize in life that we're sinners and that we're in need of a Savior, I pray that God would bring more people to that understanding. Amen. Because that is the truth. Amen. That is the right way. And we live in a world where so many people are masquerading or hiding behind this understanding that they're a sinner, and they're trying to bolster themselves out of it and trying to deny the scriptural fact that we're all sinners, and trying to live this way where we can be bold on our own. Can I tell you, it does nothing. That's what this son did in the first place, and it brought him to the place of hunger. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own ability or your own good works. They fail and falter. It'll cause you to perish with hunger. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the real Father, and you say, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He says, He doesn't look at us as the sinner anymore. He looks at us as the Son. Hallelujah, that'll even make a Baptist shout. Amen. Amen? He doesn't look at us as a sinner. He says, bring the best robe, put it on, a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. The ring on his hand denoted the royalty of his father's home. He said, you're no longer a servant. You're not a sinner. You're a son. I've forgiven your sins. You know, when Jesus forgives us of our sins, you know what he does with them? He buries them in the deepest sea. He remembers them no more. Thank God he does. Amen. That brings hope to every Christian. That brings a hopeful heart to God. But yet some, for some reason, never come back to the Father. They remain in that same place of hopelessness, perishing with hunger. When God invites you, he invites you to come home. I remember that day as a 13-year-old boy. Preacher was preaching, and man, there's something started working in my heart. I now know that was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God working in me. I was a 13-year-old boy. I had other things in my mind. Motorcycles, football, basketball. I had all that on my mind. Girls started entering into that picture. I had all this as a 13-year-old boy. But I'll tell you what, when a preacher preached one day and he told me I was a sinner and I needed Christ, I knew I needed to be saved. God began to work in my heart. God began to convict me. You know, I didn't get saved that night, but the next day I was mowing lawns. I had a job mowing lawns. I was mowing lawns. And listen, there was such conviction in my heart. There was something that bothered me so bad. I held on to that lawnmower with all I could because I knew that if I didn't get saved, that lawnmower in my mind was going to turn around and get me and chase me and chop me up. I'd spend eternity in hell. Now, that's just the conviction of the Lord working in my heart to bring me to a place where I was willing to say, yes, Lord, I need your salvation. And I'll never forget that night. I made it through the lawnmower that day. Amen. That night, I went to church. The preacher preached again. And that night, I hung onto that pew. Man, I wasn't going to let go. I didn't know it, but that preacher, he put Vaseline on the top of that pew. My hand slipped off that pew, and I walked that aisle. And I went to God, and I said, God, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? Amen. And that day, God did. Amen. See, when you arise and you go to the Father, you'll find His saving forgiveness. And I know because of that, that when I hear that trumpet sound or that death angel comes and calls me home, I know that I'm going to be in heaven someday. Amen. Because of the Word of God. I went to that Father. But let me ask you something today. What about you? What about you? You can stay in that place, perishing with hunger, if you want. Or maybe life is good today and you don't recognize that you really need to be saved. But what are you going to do when that trumpet sounds? When that trumpet sounds and you haven't received Christ, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain on this earth will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And those who are without Christ will be left behind. How sad. But friend, God's given us His Word so that you and I can prepare our hearts to know we're going to heaven when we die. And the question today is, do you know it? Is it settled between you and God? And you can have it settled today. You can have it settled before you leave church today, that it's settled in your heart that God saved you. The question is, will you arise and go to your Father? Will you ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sins? And when you do, you'll find a Father that comes, grabs a hold of your neck, hugs you, kiss you, put a ring on you, and He makes you want His child, His son, child of God. How about it today? You know, the invitation this morning, the reason I give an invitation is because it was an invitation that I got saved. And had that preacher not had an invitation to come and be saved, I don't know if I'd even be saved today. But while the Spirit of God was working in me, I knew I needed to be saved. And dear friend, whoever you are today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I invite you to come. Take my hand and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to get it settled. You see, that's a hard thing. That's a bold thing. Let me tell you something. When you open your heart to Christ and you ask Him to save you, it releases you from the burden of sin and the bondage of sin. Gives you a home in heaven when you die. How about you? Would you trust Him today? Let's bow our heads this morning.